This is the order of battle!
Thanks for joining the Order of Battle podcast for another episode. Joel, Jason, and Sometimes A discuss collecting G.I. Joe, other 118 scale action figures, and in general, what sparks joy. It's a lot of things, but almost always toys. This is the Order of Battle podcast. I am not exactly sure when the last time you and I sat down to do this. It's been a wild summer. It's been crazy. And we have not chatted about G.I. Joe or toys in a while.
Yeah, it's been a long time. We've been busy with guests and it's been awesome. It's kind of been like, it was a goal of ours from the beginning was to get as many people, you know, in the mix as we could. But then obviously, you know, trying to balance out life and life and life and life, there's only so much time we can set aside to record. I've been really enjoying, it's like a treat for me to get to listen to, you know, all of the Operation Recall contributors because I'm not there. So it's an interesting thing to come in my feed and see our show. And I'm like, all right, excellent. I have no idea what's about to come on to this one.
Honestly, that's been a lot of fun. As you mentioned, our goals of having more people on, our original goal, and I still want this to be part of our goal, isn't just to have creatives and independent business owners and authors. Although I do love that because from day one, our mission has always been signal blast the things we love and ignore what we don't. So having all these people on has been amazing because we're signal blasting the shit we love, where we're putting our money. Even if it's somebody that we hadn't supported before, and then suddenly we're all in, like Chicken Fried Toys, or if it's someone that we've known forever, and of course we're always going to be all in, like Josh and Roger. But we also wanted to have our friends on, people that just collect toys and aren't trying to make a product. And the Operation Recall concept creators is a nice bridge between the two. There's a lot of professional artists and people like that involved. There are a couple people that are, you know, working with independent toy groups or trying to bring up their own toy offering. But there's also just as many people that just like to collect the toys. Having to edit weekly has been rough on me. I am not a professional like full force, you know, and I'm busy. So it's been tough, but it's been very rewarding. So I'm glad you're enjoying it. Wow, that's a very long way of me saying I'm glad you're enjoying it. Here's my TED Talk on a thank you. But aside from that, we've been able to collaborate or just have conversations with a number of great authors and indie toy creatives. I'm hoping we're helping move the needle, but regardless of moving their sales needle, I'm just excited to be able to gush and say thank you. At the same time, I have missed us just being able to sit down and talk about toy hauls and dumb shit.
There's no way we could cover everything that we've each gotten in the time frame since we've sat down and bullshitted like this. But, I mean, there's been a lot. I mean, there was multiple toy shows. There's birthday for A. You know, there has been the kind of onslaught of, and it's a good thing and a bad thing. There's kind of been an onslaught of, like, pre-orders actually shipping. I had the gross realization this weekend that we're about at the 1 year mark for the original launch of the Tiger Force stuff. I don't have any. I know you don't have any.
Not a one, yes.
I've seen only a few people stateside having them. I am going to be probably just happier to have that phase of the Target pre-orders done than even having the figures in hand at this point. I mean, we don't have to go too crazy into the Target discussion in terms of their pre-ordering system, but like, it's kind of funny to think about that almost a full calendar year of this like on and off hold and unhold and rehold. And they gave us a relatively small time window this weekend. You know, this is the weekend of PulseCon, but we just pre-ordered original paint job Outback. It would really be something if we got the original paint job before the Tiger Force.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's been fun and also stressful because you set it and forget it with these pre-orders, and you have kind of changed your strategy a little bit to pay up front, which is probably a better idea.
If I can. Hasbro's not allowing it. Target doesn't allow it. I don't think Big Bad Toy Store allows it, but there are some that do. And yes, if I can pay day one, I would rather pay it, kind of like a Kickstarter, right? Take the money out and let me go about my business. Let me pay down my credit. Let me live my life. And when it's here, just ship it to me. I don't want to stress about how many hundreds of dollars may or may not come out on any given weekend. It's stressful. It's anxiety feeling. That is what makes me want to stop collecting. I don't care if I don't particularly like this one character's build or this one character's color scheme or the weapon that this one character comes with. To me, what makes collecting hard is when I look at the dollar amount sitting in a pre-order that may or may not hit all at once a week, who knows?
This is actually something I kind of wanted to get into a little bit because we've both done it at two different times, but I kind of went through and drastically reduced what I had pre-ordered on Big Bad, Hasbro Pulse, and Mezco. I had the kind of like an epiphany, maybe. I don't know. I got a huge shipment from Big Bad Toy Store that all hit at once, and it kind of was a wake-up call where I was like, I am a bit overextended on the auxiliary brands, is I guess what I'll call them. As much as I love a lot of this stuff, a lot of it is significantly more expensive than other things that I enjoy. Obviously, I am a champion of the 4-inch scale, so I've tried to kind of fill the void of a lack of modern 4-inch Joes with really extending myself into as many of the smaller 4-inch and independent 4-inch brands that I can. And Acid Rain was a huge hit for me. I was really strict at first with the stuff that I tried to get, and it all fit in within a certain color scheme, really. And then I kind of went crazy, and I was like, well, I love sci-fi stuff, so all this stuff is perfect. This is all what I like, which it truly is, but when you start looking at the waves of figures, and they do really cool vehicles, and they do really cool mechs, and they do all this cool stuff, it is worth the money, in my opinion. It's a lot. So I really reduced that, and I really dialed back the troop builders in categories that aren't G.I. Joe. You know, I'm just kind of compensating not having a 4-inch Joe line. And it really kind of made me kind of refocus on things I like, and has actually re-inspired me to dive back into kind of doing some kit bash, you know, lazy figure builds and stuff, which is kind of a nice thing. Out of a negative thing of like kind of realizing I was kind of in over my head on certain toy lines, re-sparking my joy in the stuff that I do like and going through the stuff I already have and realizing, like, I got a lot of stuff I need to assemble.
You and I talked about this previously. I did the same thing with Mezco. And, you know, Mezco, you have to pay a non-refundable fee up front. And when I looked at not getting back $100 worth of non-refundable fees that I paid a year and a half ago versus waiting for $1,000 to randomly bounce out of my credit card account once these figures are ready, I took the $100 hit and it reduced a lot of anxiety. I love Mezco, but as you said, it's a tertiary brand for me. This summer, we've brought home a lot of toys from a friend's attic, and A has been discovering new toy lines. You know, we took a break from G.I. Joe to do Mask a couple years ago, and receiving 10 Crimson Guard in the mail made me think, like, maybe I should reduce my army building goal to 3 versus 5. And now with A, getting back into G1 Transformers, getting a little bit into certain aspects of Star Wars, very Ewok-based, getting into Starcom, getting into Exo Squad, really wanting more from Major Matt Mason, we're having that conversation of focus, and we can't collect everything at once because I wasn't born wealthy, nor did I make be wealthy decisions at 18. You know, my bank account is limited like everybody else's. I guess this feels very cathartic, but I'm not bitching about what's coming out. I'm just simply talking about the anxiety of having so much sitting in a pre-order system. And if I could just pay for these things up front, I could say, oh, I can afford 3 army builders today. I'll pay for that when they show up at my door. Solid. I don't have to hold on to my limited funds until the very day they're ready to put it in a box and put a shipping label on it.
You nailed it, because it is definitely more of a personal thing that, you know, you and I obviously talk a lot. We both get very excited about things, and I pushed and pushed and pushed for you to order that Mezco Destro, and I didn't own any Mezco besides I had 1 5POA Gomez that I pulled apart and made a different figure. I went in on Destro, and then you went in on Destro, and then the next thing I know, you know, you bought a Hellboy, I want to say, and then all of a sudden you have like 7 other figures, and I was like, holy shit, okay. You know, and then I dove in, and the stuff is incredible. I don't think I've gotten a single Mezco figure in that I haven't liked. The anxiety for me was what you said, and I tie this in with Acid Rain 2, where when I look at the estimated delivery date and everything's staggered, I'm like, okay, I can swing this. You know, I can make this work. But since everything worldwide, not just toys, everything in life is on a massive shipping delay. So my fear sits in at this, where it's, is all of that Mezco stuff going to hit at once? And I kind of went in on some different avenues of Mezco that you didn't go in, because you kind of had your Mezco awakening a little bit before me. But I was looking at a pre-order that if everything landed at once, even though it was supposed to be 6 to 7 months apart, but we're past that, if this all hits, like, I'm in serious trouble. I kind of do, in a weird way, miss the old pre-order style of, like, you pay now. Now, it's a double-edged sword, because, you know, when they're dropping pre-orders, any company, so whether it's Hasbro, whoever, when you're dropping pre-orders on a Wednesday, you know, most of us, you know, we got a little bit more money to play with on Friday when the paycheck hits. On some aspects, it's been a favor to me, the way the pre-order systems work. But then on the other side, it's like, you set it and forget it, set it, forget it, set it, forget it. And then all of a sudden, delays are over and you have 4 different waves of figures hitting at once. And you're just like, oh, boy.
Yeah, that's exactly why I've been pricing but not buying the Joy Toy 118 Warhammer 40K figures.
I'm excited to...
I want some.
...to hear this conversation, because you've been blowing up our conversation, because a buddy of yours has kind of went a whole hog.
E hit me up and asked if I knew anything about them. At Joe Fest, Cotswolds was selling some, and he has spoken very highly of it. And then George, who helps out with Longbow and Complex, he had some that whenever I walked over to their booth, Alexander was playing with. I used to paint Warhammer back in the 90s. It's been a long time. I don't remember all the lore. I don't remember all the terminology or the timelines and everything else. I can't deep dive nerd on Warhammer anymore. That world has drastically changed. But I always have a soft spot for it. And this is 118. And I know we don't do modern architecture figures, but this is just different enough where maybe A would play with it. And so when E hits me up, I tell him all this. He hits me up a few days later, and he's picked up a few, and then a few more, and then a few more. And he's rereading the lore, and he's somebody I used to paint with back in the 90s. And so he's gone whole hog, and I'm just hungry every time he sends me something for it. You know, and then I talk to somebody like J.E. Russell, and he's like, yeah, I don't find those interesting at all, because he doesn't like the big bulky armor. And I'm like, that's fair. Everybody has their aesthetic. But I still sent him the Death Corps of Krieg, because those are normal humans with cool masks, you know, as a way to tempt him. I've been dragging my feet on pulling that trigger, because I know if I pull that trigger, it leads to other things, and other things are dangerous, because these are tertiary toy lines for me. I'm still deep diving into tertiary toy lines when, you know, we hit BotCon the same weekend as A turned 11. We got Devastator. We got Starscream. We now have Thrust. Plus there's Starcom. We added a few Exo Squad for his birthday. And now he is really into the Ewok side of Star Wars. I was like, all right, just give me a list of the characters you're looking for from Star Wars. In 201... they're all like 100 plus figures.
Shoo!
He's 11, he's one of us. He's a vintage kid, so he does not have cheap taste. So without knowing the eBay cost of the toys right now, he still chose every damned expensive figure that he could think of.
Could you get out lucky and just get him Power of the Force stuff? Because I feel like they did a decent amount of Ewoks, maybe. I don't know. It's not really my realm of collecting, but...
I mean, we'll have to hit up Jaren, right?
Yes, we'll have to pick Jaren's brain on the extensiveness of the Ewoks' involvement in Power of the Force.
We need an Anything Power of the Force episode.
You know, Joy Toy is an interesting one. I actually stumbled into a comic shop this weekend that had some Joy Toy stuff, some of the mechs. And they had one of the mechs that I really was interested in. I picked up the box, and the comic shop still had the shrink wrap on it, so I couldn't open the door to actually look at the mech. It was about $100, which, if the quality's there, is, you know, that's not crazy for me to spend on a big robot to fit another figure in. But, you know, I'm moving the box, and I can just hear stuff falling around inside of the box. There was a couple other mechs there. A couple of them were open. They had one that kind of looked like a RoboCop thing. It was kind of their rendition of a RoboCop mech, but you could put a guy inside of it. Same thing, you know, but they had the shrink wrap off, so I was able to open it. Nothing was broken, but so much of the stuff is modular, it kind of fell off in shipping, and it's just kind of rattling around the box. It was kind of a nice reminder for me, because I had purchased very few Joy Toy items, and I bought one of the bigger items, which was like a motorcycle that a 4-inch figure could ride that transforms into a robot. And, you know, in my brain, I'm like, well, this is amazing. This is a 1/18 scale futuristic motorcycle that transforms into a robot. This is like perfect. And I got it, opened it, and could not get the thing to stay together in the robot mode. Also, the transformation instructions, there was like 30 or something to make it from robot to motorcycle. And I couldn't get the thing to stay together. So I just put it back in the box and put it away. I'm not going to totally write them off because, like any of these other brands, they're kind of changing their recipe as they go. And I see a lot of people use them for customs, and I see a lot of people use the figures. They've had to have fixed a lot of this.
E has been talking to me about the quality of the Warhammer stuff, and I don't even think he's at like 5%. He's like under 5% in terms of quality control. And of that 5%, some of it's just like the joint is a little loose, but he's only had one thing that he's had to call to get replaced.
Exactly that. Like they've been fixing as they've been going.
Right.
That's both good and bad for me.
That is definitely good and bad for me as well. On a good side of things, in terms of collecting, you and I both did a major thing kind of within like 2 weeks of each other. We both finished the classic G.I. Joe trades.
Yes. You really saved my ass. I was down to 4 books. And this is how life works. You put off, you put off, you put off, you put off. You say, I'll buy that next time. I'll buy that next time. And I put off those 4 books until it was announced that IDW lost or wasn't renewing the license. And then the trades that have kind of been floating around the internet for retail price have all greatly increased in the secondary market.
Basically, everything that are beyond where they've stopped the trades and the hardback trades like 4 different times.
No, actually, all of them. Like, I saw issue one.
Really?
I saw issue one, you know, going for 3 to 4 times original retail. And that was a book that you could get for $10 because there were so many of them floating around. But, you know, that's not the point of this conversation. You were at Kentuckiana, and it was about 11:30 my time on a Saturday. I was actually in bed. My phone goes off, and it's just a pile of trades. And you're like, hey, man, which one of these did you need again? I literally jumped out of bed, sprinted down to the basement, and I was smart enough that when I packed my stuff up, I kept my trades all together in one box that was accessible. And then I call you because I'm like, I can't let him walk away from the table. So I call you and you hear me. I'm like just throwing stuff. And you're like, what is going on? I was like, I got to find these trades. Hold on. And you were able to score for me 3 of the 4 I needed at retail price. So you were able to score 3 of the 4. And unfortunately, that number 4 for me was the dreaded issue 15.
That's a big one.
Anybody who's chased these trades knows that they're not always on eBay. Like you might go months without an issue 15 popping up.
I think I went 8 months without seeing one before I got mine.
So I type in G.I. Joe Classic Trade IDW 15. And sure as shit, there's one on eBay. And I did the rookie eBay thing where I immediately started running that. It was for bid. I immediately started running that price up. I'm not going to disclose my max bid. What I will say is this trade, issue 15, is the singular most expensive item I've ever bought for my collection.
Wow.
I'm not talking lots. I'm not talking sets. I'm talking like a single item. So like I have never purchased a single item as expensive as this for my collection.
You should join the vintage toy line.
I don't think I'm going to. And what was really interesting, I pushed it and I kept increasing my max bid because I was like, I did the math and I did the math on if a new company takes over the trades, if I guessed on a price range on the cost of the trades, if I had to rebuy, say, 15 trades and 4 special missions, I did the math on what it would cost me to do that. And I kind of balanced out what I was willing to pay for 15 based on that. And I got nowhere near my max bid, which I'm very glad for. I was out of town playing a gig in Detroit. I was standing there with a bandmate, and he's like, how much time you got? How much time you got? And I'm standing there holding my phone. He's standing looking over my shoulder. We count down, and it just never went up, and I won. Oh, shit. What a crazy feeling. Like, I just completed the trades.
And you screwed up the market for everyone else.
Well, you know, I've read probably the first 70 issues, I want to say. I wanted to throw this out there that there's 19 books total. There's 1 through 15 of the original main storyline, and then there's 4 special missions.
I have all 298 in floppy. I've had the original 155 for years and years and years. Having them also in trade was important to me so that I can read them regularly. So A, can read them regularly. And because I like a bookshelf, and it looks nice on a bookshelf. With all of that, plus the special missions, I have the yearbook coming, and that will be the tie-up for Marvel's run of canon G.I. Joe. We'll see what happens next. Whatever the next company is that puts out trades, I'll probably pick those up.
What is the yearbook? Was that produced by IDW, or is that an older thing?
So it was an older thing. It's Marvel, but they never put a trade out, and IDW put out the trade.
Yeah, so I'm going to need the information on this IDW yearbook trade, because if I need that to complete my Marvel universe, we'll say, then I need to get that.
Sure.
You are the comic guy by a major margin in terms of this relationship. And I mean, I felt like $1 million completing the trade, so I can only imagine how good you felt, because you are the paper guy.
You know, it was nice. Put them all on the shelf. So I've got Order of Battle, and then I have Classic G.I. Joe 1 through 20. 16 through 20 dips into the IDW run. And then I have the 4 special missions. Once the yearbook comes in, I add that to it. It's nice. I have this nice sigh whenever I get to just line them all up. At the same time, I say that I'm having this nice sigh, but I look at my G.I. Joe shelf and I realize that I've outgrown it, and now I have to go down to the next shelf, which means I have to adjust the Star Wars shelves. Good and bad, right? As we've been talking about with Joy Toy and Classified and Mezco and everything else, there's good and bad to being what we are. And so I'm excited to have more for my book collection, but it does mean I have to go back and readjust the G.I. Joe and Star Wars section of my bookshelf.
You can apply that to everything within our collecting world. Books are a little bit easier to track because they are, you know, generally you keep the books in order on a shelf.
As I said, it's been a busy summer. So aside from the toys, we've had a number of shows that we've gone to. We've talked to a number of people, but, you know, I got lucky. A number of collectors have come through Nashville in the last month or so. And so outside of the convention and things, I get to hang out with some out-of-town friends. And every time it happens, we were closer, or, you know, you still travel for the band, or I had a reason to get up to Western New York. But this year, I don't know that I'm going to be traveling much outside of Assembly Required, which is coming up in November. It's in Iowa. I was trying to figure out how to do SoCal, but I don't think it's going to happen. But next year, man, I got to hit the West Coast again. I'm hungry for it. I want to see all the West Coast collectors, as well as family and friends and I'd like to take A out there. But just having people come in town always reminds me of that. And I love sharing a good beer joint or Nashville hot chicken, sitting around and just having that space and time to BS or to take people to all the toy and comic and game shops around town. It's been a busy summer, but it's definitely one that from our hobby and our community has been very rewarding. Aside from, you know, Todd abandoning us and moving to Florida. I'm not saying that the Order of Battle Destro's Toy Den collaboration has dissolved. It's not over, but he sure made it harder for us to, you know, road trip together. Thanks, Todd.
Now we have more of an excuse than ever to have him come on as a guest. Because, you know, if you talk to Todd, he'll tell you he's our biggest supporter that doesn't get any love, even though we love Todd.
Not anymore. He's a Florida guy now.
Can't wait till he makes the headlines. Florida man. I'm currently in the process of trying to map out my assembly required trip. The airports do not like each other, is what I'll put lightly. It is definitely weird looking at these flights and looking at what airlines go and the cost and everything, and very bizarre. So I'm hoping that I can figure out how to fly out of Rochester instead of having to travel to fly. But it is... Des Moines to Rochester is a very strange lane in terms of air travel from here. I really don't want to drive.
14 hours?
Something like that. I mean, Joe Fest is 13.
That's a lot.
It's taxing by yourself. It's just taxing in general. That's a lot of traveling, and it essentially adds 2 extra days. I'm actively trying to figure it out. It is a priority for me as long as it's obtainable. Not that we're a news show, but there is some news that's pretty exciting for me. Haya has shown images now for Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow in a 4-inch-ish scale. They're going to be a little bit shorter. What's interesting is the Snake Eyes is essentially 00 Snake Eyes, which I like, and I'm excited to have in a 1:18 scale. And the Storm Shadow that they showed is the Storm Shadow that we never got, essentially, minus the tattoos and, you know, some of the accessories are different. But in terms of design-wise, it's like pretty heavy reliant on the original classified design that we never got. Now, Haya is kind of an interesting one because I have some earlier Predator figures from a few years ago. They have some quality control issues where stuff just falls apart, like the gauntlets broke on the one Predator I opened immediately. But this weekend, when I stumbled into a toy shop that had some Joy Toy stuff, they also had, above the register, they have the brand new Judge Dredd SDCC exclusive from this year.
Oh, nice.
So it's Judge Dredd in black and white, and it's Judge Death, but he has like kind of like a smoke bottom. It's actually very interesting because it's plastic. It's like a flexible plastic wrapped around a wire that you can bend and manipulate, so you can pose him in ways that looks like he's like, you know, floating. So he doesn't have legs. You know, he has this weird like trail underneath. And I bought it specifically because I knew it was new, and I knew it was like, this is where they're at right now. This just came out. They've had the license for Alien and Predator and RoboCop for 6-7 years at this point, but they have not had Judge Dredd that long. And I am happy to say that I opened that pack up, and the articulation is a little bit funky because of the designs, because Judge Dredd is very cartoonish. Like he looks like he's plucked off the pages. He's very strange. But I was able to move the joints and swap the hands right out of the box. I didn't hot water it or anything. They just went. And I'm extremely excited to get the G.I. Joe stuff in hand that doesn't have these weird designs that hinder the articulation. I'm really happy.
I like the look of the Snake Eyes. Looks like the Snake Eyes I already have from Classified, but that Storm Shadow is so good, man. I want that as 6-inch. That is the Storm Shadow we should have got at Classified.
You and I collectively were extremely excited for that Storm Shadow because they kind of nailed it with, you recognize that it's Storm Shadow, and I liked the metal face mask elements to it, and we both liked the tattoos that, I mean, the Haya toy does not come with the tattoos, but We were both really impressed with that classified figure that we ended up never getting, unfortunately. I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that the designs were done. You know it's out there. Or you, when I say out there, it's in the vault. Like, let's get it out, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I would happily add that. One of the things that frustrates me with classified is how many people complain and complain about all the different roadblocks. But there's twice as many storm shadows and three times as many snake eyes. And yet, I would happily add this storm shadow to my collection. I would happily have this storm shadow a 6-inch. It's incredible.
I'm happy that we're getting that design in a different scale. I mean, obviously, I'm happy because it's my scale, but I'm happy that we're getting at least that design out, because I would have been happy, you know, like you just said, I would have been happy to have it in the 6-inch scale.
For me, it's going to be an entry into 4-inch articulation. I did not jump in with the retro carded G.I. Joe that was the Walmart exclusive or whatever. I didn't jump into that. It didn't compel me. And I know, you know, everybody was complaining about Duke. And when you had put your hands on him, you're like, it's a little backwards in terms of technology. So I let it alone. But these are compelling enough for me to at least buy the two of them and see where it goes.
This is the weekend of PulseCon. I don't think that we necessarily need to go down the G.I. Joe road.
Sure, sure. I mean, I pre-ordered it all.
Oh, and me too. But what I do want to touch on is Indiana Jones is back, baby.
I think Indy himself, it's a good figure, but and I don't remember the villain's name, but the Nazi villain, like, I think he looks great as an enemy of G.I. Joe.
They announced that they had got the licensing to, or that they were reintroducing the license of Indiana Jones, because they did have it back in the day. They had a 4-inch line. I've just been waiting and waiting. I knew that we weren't going to get modern style 4-inch figures, because outside of the Star Wars Vintage Collection, which if you look at the offerings compared between Black Series, is limited. I was realistic. I said, we're going to get 6-inch. I kind of assumed that they would do something within the retro universe, which they ended up rebuilding the original style of 3 3¾, 7 POA figures. But they're introducing a new hand style with Indiana Jones, which is similar to a Mezco style or an Articulated Icon style, where the wrist is a ball and peg and the hand itself is a single piece. The new hand style is, I think, an improvement, and I kind of hope that maybe someday Classified will kind of do that as well. We'll see. I like the way Classified is built, but I do enjoy that hand style. They have a pretty big scope for Indiana Jones. They showed all of the 5-inch figures, which come with a build apart to build the Ark of the Covenant. I'm not going to buy anything outside of the 6-inch line.
Although an Ark of the Covenant would be great for your 4-inch figures.
I have the 4-inch scale one from the 2007 or 2008 line.
I was trying.
They have a kids line that they're introducing that's similar to the, I forgot what it's called, but the Star Wars like 2.5-inch scale. And then the retro stuff, but I'm hyped to throw Dr. Jones in with my Joes. Something that really was a real treat to watch was, it was a very short panel, and it's two of the guys from the Star Wars team, and their excitement and joy was like intoxicating. Those dudes love Indiana Jones, and it comes through, and it's so much fun, and it was awesome to just the one designer in particular, that you could just tell by his expression, like, this is a dream come true for him. They're just amazing. And if anybody somehow missed it, if you go to, you know, Hasbro Pulse's, you know, Instagram page, you can find the images. I'm sure they're on Facebook and Twitter and everywhere, but this is all based off of the first indie movie. I don't know. It's awesome. That's all.
I look forward to seeing what comes next. I like indie a lot. I'm already writing stories in my head of pre-G.I. Joe, where Indy and Hawk and Duke and Joel Colton, that's the pre-Joe adventure team that led to the G.I. Joe department, or however you want to. Clearly, I'm not ex-military. I don't know the term. But yeah, I would love to see that kind of a situation. You know, once we have a General Hawk in hand with an Indy in hand. Classified Duke's he's a young man. He's not quite the elder statesman of the Joes that our 83 Duke was, but Stalker could be that replacement. So now you have Hawk, Stalker, and Indy as the pre-Joe adventure team to help put it all together.
Absolutely.
I'm already writing this, man. I'm already in my head thinking about these stories. Yeah, it works for me. Like, this is where, you know, the Nazi guy, I don't remember his name, you know, maybe Major Blood, a couple others. We could do this story.
The details in these figures, the villain comes with gloved hands, his overcoat, a hat. He comes with ungloved hands with the burn, and then he also comes with a melting head.
That's not dark at all.
They know who they're selling these figures to. I'm just excited. It was a lot of fun watching the joke panel, and then I went from Indiana Jones into the Star Wars panel. You know, I'm a decent fan. I'm no expert by any means. I don't keep track of the lore. I don't do any deep dive. I don't do any expanded universe stuff, but they get a lot of product, so it's very exciting to watch.
Outside of us talking like every day anyway, this was a nice catch-up on microphone. I'm sure we're going to talk more Operation Recall. We're going to talk more Assembly Required. You know, After Action Report's going to have a Volume 3. We'll see who we can come on as guests, but I missed this conversation, and
assuming at some point things will slow down in terms of, like, the Operation Recall records, and hopefully slow down in both of our personal lives a little bit so we can have a moment to just BS and because it has kind of been a whirlwind in, you know, real world stuff outside for both of us. So it's almost weird. It was like almost like a relearning thing of like, how do we do this again? Because it's been such a pleasant routine of like just having other people here. But yeah, I'm really enjoying where I've been landing lately within the hobby and kind of downsizing some of the stuff I buy and enjoying some of the stuff I have, which was definitely a big thing that you and I wanted to talk about a long time ago. If you go back and listen to the episodes, when we get into something, we go hard, sometimes to our own demise. So from what I understand, you have been sifting through some toy lines that are kind of new to you, exploring your interest in some of these other lines. So do you want to get into some of them?
Starcom and Exosquad. So Starcom is a spaceship toy line where everyone has like magnets on their feet and stuff. There's like magnets on the vehicles, and some vehicles can like magnetize onto other vehicles.
Yeah, it's a very cool
concept.
Yeah, it's a cool concept that I wish there was a modern equivalent.
Yeah, and Exosquad is a mech suit toy line where the cartoon says, humans created these alien things called the Neo-Sapiens to do work for them, and the Neo-Sapiens rebelled, and they got put back to work. And then the Neo-Sapiens rebel again, and this time they're trying to kill all the humans. And the show shows them as bad guys, even though it's pretty much just people not wanting to be slaves.
There's a lot of stuff that has not really aged as well or translated as well from that time in the cartoons. If my memory is correct, Exosquad is the same scale as Mask. And are Starcom a little bit smaller than Mask?
Yeah, Starcom's about 2 inches, I think. And Exosquad is about 3.
Have you been mixing them, or have you been keeping everybody separate? Like, how are you playing with these toy lines?
I really keep everything separate, unless it's like me playing with the Star Wars toys I also got from my friend's grandma's house. Or it's me playing with my 6-inch figures.
Sure. So I also know that you've been diving back into Transformers because you were into Transformers when you were younger.
Uh-huh.
Where are you at with Transformers? Like, what has you excited? What are you hoping to do and get with Transformers?
There's just a lot of G1 things I want, but of course, I want the expensive stuff. I also really want Star Wars Ewoks.
The Star Wars stuff, is that 80s stuff or is that 90s Power of the Force stuff? Because I haven't really seen, you know, I don't know what you're going through in terms of the Star Wars stuff.
It's mostly Power of the Force, but there is some of the 90s stuff.
Okay.
And the good Power of the Force that's... It's like the stuff that's not overproduced.
Okay. So, yeah, you're on an Ewok kick. Who's your favorite?
I don't know, because I don't have them all. I'm just crying inside my body because I keep finding parts of all these different Ewoks, but I only found two Ewok figures. Like, I have all of Logray the Medicine Man's gear. I have some of the Chief Chirpa's gear. I have a Tebow and Wicket figure, but... And I'm just finding these parts for Ewok, and I'm, like, just crying, and why can't I just get the actual figures?
Well, I feel like the gear is always the harder spot to find, so I feel like at a toy show, you'd probably be able to find the Ewoks without gear for a little bit of a, like a... You know, it'll be an easier thing to chase than the gear. I could be wrong, but...
Yeah.
If I'm basing it off of G.I. Joe, you know, most of the time the gear is almost more expensive than the figure.
It's called G.I. Joe figure mics.
Little phones and, you know, pistols and Uzis and stuff.
Yeah.
The Sarge's baton. Has this made you play with Mask more? Like, what are the bigger effects of digging through these new toy lines?
It's just making me bring my Joes down to play with the Star Wars vehicles, since the Star Wars figures are, like, 5 POA.
Like, what vehicles have you been loading up with Joes from the Star Wars universe?
I've been loading up, like, TIE fighters. There's this one big Republic ship, one of Padme's, like, Republic cruisers or something, like, diplomatic things, a massive one of those.
Now, what Joes are lucky enough to enter the space traveling universe?
Mostly 1994 to 1992.
Okay, well, like, what characters? Throw some out there for us. Curious if you were using, like, Star Brigade or if you were just using whoever you wanted to play with.
There's people like Ice Cream Soldier. Okay, you have no skin showing. You can fly this speeder bike. And, like, Cobra Crimson Guard Immortals and the Battle Plate, Cobra Commander, the one with the faceplate from, like, 1992.
I love the Crimson Guard Immortal.
Yeah.
He's a very cool character.
I'm going through, and I find, like, four vintage, not Power of the Force Star Wars vehicles. There's, like, 12 of them.
What's your favorite of the 12, then?
Probably the TIE Fighter Interceptor, or whatever it's called.
Nice, it's a great vehicle.
Yeah.
I took my modern Sky Patrol guys and I paired them up with Star Wars ships a little while ago. That was a fun project that I did. I kind of like mixing some Star Wars vehicles with some of my G.I. Joe stuff.
I just finished sorting all of the either complete or incomplete, but we still have some accessories of the original Star Wars figures, which is Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, Star Wars, and the first Power of the Force.
I will be bugging your dad to see some photos.
It is not including the Rancor.
So you have a Rancor?
Yes.
How awesome is that?
Pretty cool. Its mouth opens.
Yes.
That's pretty much it.
I love all the creatures. That's a very fun aspect of it.
I've been mostly just using the Star Wars Blomo book because that's the stuff I specifically want to focus on.
Let's end it here. Thanks again for spending time with us discussing toys and other geeky things. Our logo was made by Rhino. The music we use was created by Self Help. You can find Joel on Instagram at Order of Battle Pod. Jason is on Twitter at Order of Battle PD. Our email is orderofbattlepod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, and thank you for your likes, comments, outreaches, and just being here with us.
This has been The Order of Battle.